thought that was very beautiful. Thank you again to our worship team, who we recognized earlier, that you guys have been doing this, nonstop, really, since all this craziness began 18 months ago. And pray for them and God's strength, and that the joy would still be there as they serve. And as Angela was mentioning earlier, we do have, coming down the pike, there's always new things, right, that are related to the pandemic. So what happens next week, we still don't know yet, and so stay tuned for that. But it does highlight that the need for our tech booth is significant, and we can train you. We actually don't have enough here as we think about how long we need to sustain this. We're thinking, oh boy, here this all starts again. And Leslie, she's getting married in 2 weeks. Woohoo! And moving to Minnesota. Yes, we're going to be very sad to lose her. So if you have any willingness or openness to that at all, please talk to me or talk to Danny. We can train you, but we definitely have some needs in our tech booth that the body of Christ needs. So if that is something that the Spirit is speaking to you, man, I really hope he is, and we would love to have you volunteer with us. We started a new series in August. It's called Word to the Wise. It's about growing in wisdom. You saw it there in the kids' message, and we've spent our time mostly in the book of Proverbs, which lays out how God has made life work best. But this morning, we're going to venture into Romans, and we've scratched at the surface of a couple things, like thinking before you act, thinking before you speak. It's usually one that trips me up often enough. I'll just speak for myself. But it's one thing to be mentally aware of what's wiser, and it's another thing to actually do it, right? I guess those are the challenges of life. But the good news is that because of Christ, His Holy Spirit can empower us to make some really significant changes, to do things which kind of go against the pattern that we normally follow in our each and everyday life. And I know some of you are looking at the person next to you and wondering, if this sort of change could like ever happen to you. And the good news is, it's just, we're talking about 1% changes here, incremental things. If you can make baby steps in God's direction, the Holy Spirit can empower that into some very great leaps and bounds in a little bit of time. So where we're headed today is what we call renewing our minds. And the first thing that we're going to do is a fun little exercise. About 10 years ago, I think we have the graphic of this book to put on the screen for you. There was a book written by John Ortberg called The Me I Want to Be, and that is really, really small writing. What I want you to notice is the logo there, the me part, is full of words. And it's kind of fun to just look at that, because it's describing who I am, or who this me is, and becoming God's best version of you. And so what we're going to do is that there's all these descriptive words up there, authentic, resilient. You can see the Spirit, you can see flow, free, flourish, love, thrive, all these things that describe you as a person. And what I want you to do is to think about, just for a moment, if you were to design a graphic for your life, what words would be in it? How would you characterize you? Think about that for just a second. And maybe you're just drawing a big blank, right? I don't know what I... What would describe me? I'm guessing that words like vain, self-centered, defensive, anxious, passive-aggressive, we get fearful. I'm guessing those words aren't on your list, are they? Probably not. I hope not. But the sad reality is that those words sometimes describe us more than we want to admit or than we want to like. And that may not bother you, but I guarantee it bothers someone else, okay, in your life, who just wishes you would get it together. It's your spouse, your family, your coworkers. You stop being such an anxious wreck, or nervous Nelly or an angry person, or I don't know what that is. God's plan all along was for human beings to thrive, and we screwed it up. God's plan all along was to live in community with us and for us to live in community and harmony and relationship with others forever. And instead of having God in the middle of our me, we decided to have me in the middle of our me, and the world has just not been the same ever since. So the issue in becoming God's best version of you isn't our aspiration to change. It's in the how. How do you actually create change? You can pay a lot of money for books and seminars and podcasts. You can buy yourself a Peloton, hopefully to motivate you to make some really great changes in your life. And in the short term, you can. You can change the way you look. You can have some more energy. You can feel healthier. These are all good things. But creating lasting change is the difficult thing, especially when we're talking about this. And also here, really difficult to create lasting change. But the good news is this is where God enters the picture on our behalf. So the Apostle Paul wrote to a group of Christians in Rome about following Christ and what that might look like for you and I to lead a life as a Christian. And he's talking about our attitudes and how we carry ourselves and how we interact with others and the ethical decisions that we make in any given day and week. And probably his best, most succinct summary of this is what we already read here in Romans 12, but we're going to read it again because that's what we do here on Sunday mornings, is we like to read God's Word. And so I'm going to invite you to stand, if you are able, for the reading of God's Word. I'll read this aloud, and you can read along quietly to yourself. Here we go, Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is the reading of God's Word. Thanks be to God. You can have a seat. So this kind of 1-2 punch, the first is like what we might do to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, a holy and pleasing person to God. And the verse 2, where we're going to spend our time today, is how we can present ourselves to the Lord this way. And there's two pieces to it. It's only if we stop conforming and start transforming. Thankfully, those words in English rhyme for us, so you'll actually remember that when you're at lunch today and you're like, what was the sermon about? Oh yeah. Stop conforming and start transforming. It sounds easy. Is there a shot I can get for that or a pill I can take? No. Unfortunately not. We grow in wisdom when we allow God to renew our mind. And God doesn't want us to have lobotomies. Okay, God did not create us to be robots. He created us to have choice. He created us in his image. And he liked you and I enough, as we presently are, that he was even willing to give up his life on our behalf before we were perfect. Think about that for a second. God liked me so much, like even before I was aware that he was there or who he was, that he was willing to give his life on my behalf. That's pretty crazy. That's pretty powerful. That's the love that God has for us. And God loves us so much that he's not going to leave you alone. He's not going to leave us as we are. There's a process of transformation, a process of growth that won't end until we're like Jesus. And theologians have a fancy word for that. It's called sanctification. Sanctification. It's this process of transformation until we're like Jesus. And in Romans 12, 2, there's two words that I just mentioned that work in tandem with one another. It's do not conform, be transformed. The Apostle Paul gives these as suggestions. Just kidding. The Apostle Paul gives these as commands. They're an imperative. Do not conform and be transformed. Very direct. And we're going to start and really camp out with the second one of these, which literally says, you metamorph. It's bad English, I know. But look at the person next to you. Point at them. It's okay, it's in church, you can point. I don't know. You metamorph. Do it. Come on, you. You metamorph. Thank you. See, I just made my day right there. You couldn't see that at home, but I know you were doing it there as well. You metamorph is literally what Paul says. Metamorph like a butterfly. So, a few weeks ago, I was in my native state of Iowa. I flew into Minneapolis, St. Paul International Airport, and we drive south from there across the border, as I've done that many, many times, and this time I noticed there was a new sign on the Iowa side of the border. Oh, goody. What does it say? It had an image of a monarch butterfly on it, and it said something like, you know, welcome to the butterfly highway. I mean, are you kidding me? Like, and you wonder why people make fun of us? You put a butterfly on your sign. My mom's like, well, what's wrong with a butterfly? I'm like, yeah, you could put a tractor on the sign. You could put a cute little pig on the sign. A butterfly. Well, much to my consternation, it's the Butterfly Highway. And I didn't even know when I grew up right next to the Butterfly Highway. And there's an abundance of insect life in the Midwest, especially in Iowa, and there were many monarch butterflies that I remember as a kid, and I don't know if I've ever actually seen one here. Are they here? Where's their scientific crowd? I suppose they are, but I'll look at one of my children. Have you ever seen a monarch butterfly here? That's putting her on a spot. No, I don't think they exist here, but they were all over the place because I grew up on the Butterfly Highway, and people would even bring them to school, because when you would find the little cocoon, it was special. And so we would put them in our classroom, and we would wait for them to hatch, because the transformation is amazing, right? It starts out as this little caterpillar. It goes into the cocoon, and bam, it's got wings and it flies. I mean, God has a sense of humor, right? But when Paul says, you metamorph, think like a butterfly. That means that every Christian, every follower of Jesus, we're commanded to embrace this process of transformation because God is not finished with you. He's not finished with me. As we are in this state right now, you metamorph. We start as a grubby, hairy-looking worm, and someday we're going to fly. It's good news. It's a transformation God wants to make in us. And one reason the Apostle Paul urges us to be transformed is because our own desire, our own choice, our own will is wrapped up in this. Just sitting in church every week, while good for you, doesn't guarantee this magnificent change. Your intention, your cooperation, your energy is needed for God to do this in your life. And so this metamorphosis is fueled by a couple things. The first might be obvious. It's, first of all, you have to have a relationship with Christ. That's the starting point, not the end point. The starting point is a relationship with Christ. And the Apostle Paul only uses the word metamorph or transform in one other place. And it's pointing to this ongoing relationship that we all need to have with the Lord. And so he talks about this in 2 Corinthians 3:18, and if you read this just out of context, it seems kind of weird, okay? It says, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who's from the Spirit. The context here is Paul's talking about Moses, and when Moses used to go up on the mountaintop to meet with the Lord, he would come back down and his face would glow. It sounds strange, it was, because he had been in God's presence. His face was glowing. And so when he's like, you know, we have these unveiled faces, contemplate the Lord's glory, we are being transformed, same word, metamorph, into his image. And so the Apostle Paul is saying that when we contemplate the Lord's glory, we're being transformed into his image. So the first place that this starts, this fueling this metamorphosis in us, is just simply spending time with the Lord, contemplating his glory. A natural question to ask is what that means for you. What would that look like in your life to contemplate the Lord's glory? And I almost don't want to answer that for you because it would limit your imagination. But I'll give you an example. For me, contemplating the Lord's glory looks like this. I would love to be out in the woods next somewhere next to a stream, sitting on a rock and thinking, God, you are pretty great. Just looking around at the beauty that surrounds us all over the place. Another way I might contemplate the Lord's glory, maybe I'm going to pause for just a minute before I start my day, and I'm going to thank God for the gift of my family. I'm going to thank God for a good night's rest, for a brand new day. Those are just two examples. What would it look like for you to contemplate the Lord's glory? In doing this, it has a powerful and transforming effect on us. It's metamorphosis. Another way that this is also fueled is by that second word that we were talking about, not conforming. Simply put, that's resisting the influence of the world. And Paul's saying that you and I need to resist the influence of a society that doesn't know God's ways. We're ambassadors. Our citizenship may be in heaven, but we're living here. As a kid, I always thought that being a good ambassador meant that there was always this word that was thrown around in my church that I grew up in, and the people that I was surrounded by, about being a good witness. You better be a good witness. And what that meant to me at that time was that there was a whole list of stuff that I wasn't supposed to be doing. Being a good witness is, you know, it's don't use that kind of language, or don't do this, or don't. It was all behavior based. What I've learned as an adult, I wish I would have paid attention to more as a kid, is the stuff that we should be doing to be an ambassador. To me, being an ambassador in this place at this time is, hey, be hospitable, be kind, be compassionate to the people around you. Stop and notice them. Listen. These are also important pieces of being an ambassador for Christ. And in living, being citizens of heaven and living in this place, it can be really crushing and difficult. And so we have to resist the influence that the world exerts around us. So think about this. One of the easiest ways to begin resisting that influence is to actually identify what is influencing me. What kind of inputs are there throughout my day that comes into my mind, stuff that I read, stuff that I watch, conversations that I have, the talk or text that I have? These are all inputs. And what do we call people on YouTube or on social media who have tons and tons of subscribers or followers? You call them influencers. So let me ask you, who influences you? Who do you follow? Who do you subscribe to? And how? How are they influencing you? That's the key. Is this influence that I keep consuming as a part of our media-driven world pushing me into the pattern that's not God? Or is it encouraging me to grow? It'd be impossible to live here without having some influences. I'm not saying you should go into a media, you know, coma or something like that, although that could be good to fast from that for a while. But just being aware of what we're allowing to influence our mind. Some of it's positive, some of it's negative, some of it's just a net zero. You know, whenever you have a steady diet of something, you have to consider its impact. And I probably could get into a lot of trouble here. This is where my wife takes a deep breath and goes, oh boy. Have some verbal discipline here, but so years ago, we read the book that I showed you in our church. Not this one, different church. And the and it was very well received, except for really one person. And so this person made an appointment with me as a pastor. He was very concerned that we were reading this book, and he came to me, and it was awesome that he made an appointment and he came. First of all, thank you. Thank you for, you know, communicating. And as we sat there and we discussed, I realized that it was just, he was really just uncomfortable with the whole me thing, and it seemed like self-help to him. And so he'd gone online and he'd found this person who had some very grave concern, a person, he was a pastor, and he had a blog, and he had written all extensively about this book. And what I realized as we were talking, that the person writing the blog and the person in my office actually had not read the book. And I pointed that out, and the response was, I don't want to give that man my money, so I just read the Google preview. Well, so I opened the book, and I'm like, all the things that you're pointing out here, actually, he's making a case for why you wouldn't want that. It's a lot about the Holy Spirit, and you know, we talked about this extensively. And at the end of this very amicable conversation, I thought that this person in my office would go, oh, well, that clears everything up. It's awesome. He didn't do that. He said, I have very grave concerns about the direction our church is heading if we're going to consume this kind of material. Okay. That was the first time, it's happened many times since, that I realized that even as a pastor, that I have a personal relationship with this person, and they have a personal relationship with people in the church who are all going, hey, this is good, this is great, whatever. And there's this person 1,000 miles away who they'll never meet or know. He's allowed that person to have more influence on their life than folks who love them. And that breaks my heart. And more, the things that we read and it's groupthink, we go online and we find our stream of people who think just like us and believe just like us, and we sign up for all their stuff and we read and we think that's reality, and it's not. It's good for us to interact with people who are different than us, to have relationships. This is how I feel, and I want to whine about it, okay? But I'm really glad that I got that off my chest. Because as followers of Christ, we're going to have disagreements with one another. We're going to have different approaches to things. But when Paul says to bear with and forgive one another, it's not a suggestion. And so we have to work diligently, super hard, really, really hard over the next however many months to continue bearing with one another in our communities, at home, at work, at church, because there's a lot of turbulence still out there. And if we hone in on a couple people who have one stream of thought, we end up angry. Don't allow whatever causes you to stumble into your mind. Avoid the stuff that puts you in a bad mood. Avoid things that encourage you to talk behind one another's back or badmouth others or spread rumors. Avoid the stuff, the inputs that make you compare or jealous or that creates unlimited wants, the things you gotta have in your life. Avoid the stuff or moderate or whatever. Cut down on the stuff that causes you anxiety and fear. These are not good if we just dive into those kind of diets each and every day for our mind. But there are some mental inputs that draw us closer to God. It's our prayers, our devotions, our Bible reading. It's listening to worship music. It's sermons. It's being in community with other Christ followers who want to just love Jesus. It's attending church. Peter, the Apostle Peter, writes his second letter, and he begins this out in 2 Peter 3. He's like, he talks about stimulating. He's like, dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written you both as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. There's a war for our minds. And this last year has pointed it out to me more than ever before. And if you're struggling to have some wholesome thinking, you're in good company. That probably means the metamorphosis is currently happening in you. So spend time in God's presence, resist the influence of the world, and stop conforming. That's what Paul is getting at when he launches into this renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. Start transforming by a renewing of your mind. If it wasn't possible to do that, he wouldn't say it. Last year, I spent a lot of time dwelling on the things that frustrated me, the people who annoyed me, it's just like the picture in the kids' video. It's just all of that stuff. It's dark thoughts. By the power of the Holy Spirit, God has allowed us to become aware of those things and change it. Renew your mind. Put some of God's stuff in there and stop dwelling on all of that garbage. There was a point this last year that I found myself so angry at stuff that was happening, it would just make me go to a bad place like that and talk to Corey because she's like, yeah, it was real bad. And somewhere last spring, it occurred to me, obviously the Holy Spirit was like, maybe you should forgive some of these people. I hate that. Maybe I should forgive. So as I found myself dwelling on certain things, I would just say, Lord, help me to forgive. I forgive. I forgive. Or whatever. I started praying about those things, and suddenly, it's like you're free. All that garbage, it's like taking out the trash. This is what it means to renew your mind. And when the Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. The pink elephant might be dominating your mind. Recognize that. Offer it to God. Say, God, it's the pink elephant again. What do I do? And start thinking about the notable, praiseworthy stuff. We can do this. This is how God creates change, transformation in people and lives and hearts and minds. Whatever is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy, think about these things. So as you think about this morning, knowing that God is in all of this, that he wants to empower us to transform, you know, how do we get in the cocoon? How do we resist the influences of our world? That it's impossible to, we're always going to have influences of this world. How can we be aware of those and resist the ones that are taken away from God? And how can we lean into it? What small step could I make tomorrow to metamorph? And the next time that we become aware of bad thoughts, anxious thoughts, sinful thoughts, debilitating thoughts, anxious thoughts, how are we going to change our mental thermostat or alter their direction? Because it's going to happen. And so my prayer is that tomorrow or the next day or this week, when you start heading down that road, that the Holy Spirit makes you conscious of it. And that by his power, you're able to choose a new direction. Amen? This ain't going to happen through willpower or self-discipline, or only willpower and self-discipline. It has to be done in conjunction with the Holy Spirit. And with God's help, we can become his people, passionate about his purposes and his kingdom in this world and the people around us. And that's my prayer for you, for our church. And so let me close in prayer. Lord, we want to offer our lives as a living sacrifice. Those are oxymorons. Those words are opposites. Living and sacrifice. How do we do that? How do we live in a way that's holy and pleasing to you? Help us. Help us to not conform anymore to the pattern that this world wants to stuff us into. To not just be molded like clay into whatever we're just pushed into doing, Lord. Help us to be transformed like a butterfly, Lord. Help us to contemplate your glory, to spend time in your presence, to resist the influences in this world. Help us to renew our minds. We can only do this with your power and your help. We pray that we would. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. Well, please stand for this morning's benediction. It comes from a passage many of you know and have memorized, Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends what? All understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Go in God's peace and his mercy this week. God bless you. We'll see you next Sunday.